and welcome to the Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. As always, I'm Corey, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Jemp and Luke Cupfer.
Hello!
Hi, howdy.
This week we're talking about munching mammals and swallowing shrews. But first, we have a YouTube comment.
Ooh!
Just one.
Just one.
That's the only one we got from the last week.
We're waiting for more on the channel, please. So this one says, you know what I want to see them do? I want them to take all of these sentience tests that they have, and I really want them to test robots with it. Without any of the bias of, it's a robot. Heck, they could even test Sims with it. This was on our Octopus Sentience episode. This person is clearly asking for them to take the sentience tests that they've used for octopuses and give them to Sims.
Oh,
and robots.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good idea, I think, right?
The Sims would fail.
They'll drown if you don't give them a ladder to get out of the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not.
That's not very sentient.
No, an octopus wouldn't do that, would it? You've never seen an octopus drown, have you?
I've never seen an octopus drown. First time for everything, though, isn't there?
We also have a question for everyone that is listening and watching. Head to the YouTube comments and give us some more, please. The question is, are you vegan or vegetarian?
Well, we all are, so that's... Wow, what a weird subsection of the human species we are.
So this episode is an odd one, and honestly, I wasn't quite sure how to approach it, because it is very weird. So, from the intro, I'm sure you've got questions. Swallowing shrews, right? I didn't know whether...
No questions.
Whatsoever.
Well, no. You swallow shrews all the time.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Morning routine. Vegan except for that. Yeah. The health benefits of shrews are just outweighed by the...
We all have a threshold. We all have a line.
Name the health benefits of shrews.
Protein, surely.
Yeah.
Wouldn't quite say... That's not quite a health benefit. You could get it from plants.
Calories.
It's a health benefit if you don't have any other sources of protein.
Yeah.
Do you have no other sources of
vegan,
protein?
I'm vegan, of course not.
Where do you think protein comes from?
So you're eating... I mean, you need to have at least, about 50... A man of your size, about 50 grams of protein a day.
Sure.
How many shrews are you eating in the morning to get all that protein?
Three.
No.
Whenever anybody has that question that they always ask about vegans, where do you get your protein? I'm ready with an answer. Three shrews a day.
Three shrews in the morning.
That's definitely not enough shrews.
That's not enough shrews.
No way that's enough shrews.
Three shrews.
I don't think three shrews is enough protein for your daily protein.
I'm trying to conceptualize.
Okay, think about how much chicken someone would eat for their daily protein.
Yeah, but I have no concept.
Sure, but that's in the quantity of chicken. That's not whole chickens.
Right, but... Yes, but a shrew is a very small animal.
Okay, well, I'll eat more shrews then. Fine. God.
Seven shrews.
Get off my back. Thought I was eating enough shrews.
You have to up your shrew intake.
As you probably are aware, someone swallowed a shrew. Not Luke, someone else.
It was an old lady, I heard, swallowed a shrew.
You were not the first person to make that joke.
Oh.
It's in articles everywhere. So this episode, we're going back to our roots and talking about scientists who swallowed something that they probably shouldn't have.
the guy who invented LSD, but with shrews.
I always think, we've done a lot of episodes about people swallowing stuff. I always think about the episode where a man gave himself stomach ulcers and then prove that they were...
Episode one.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So is this the Albert Hofmann thing where he accidentally ingested something, or is this he deliberately ingested something that he probably shouldn't have? Did he accidentally ingest the shrew? Or what did he do it on purpose?
I don't think one could accidentally ingest a shrew. I'm gonna say that. I don't think someone could. He did it fully on purpose. This is like a yellow fever situation. Remember the yellow fever episode where the man swallowed vomit?
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, I do remember that, yeah.
There are a lot of scientists swallowing a lot of things.
A vomit is worse than shrew, I'd say.
Is it? Whole shrew? Did he swallow this shrew with the hair on?
Well, you'll find out.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, okay. Maybe it's up for debate.
No.
I don't know.
No, vomit's worse.
Vomit is... It depends who's
vomit's
vomit.
Quite bad, but...
But he didn't vomit whilst eating the vomit.
Yeah, I don't know what state the shrew's in, though.
I think vomit is literally the opposite of the thing that you'd want to swallow, because it is it is specifically designed to come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've swallowed my own vomit before.
Not like after it's left your mouth and then you've got it in a cup and then you swallowed it. You might have just kept it down.
In my mouth and then...
Yeah, sure.
You know.
But getting a cup, consciously going into the decision of I'm going to swallow this vomit, pouring it onto your tongue. Sorry, this is really revolting. that, I think, is just the opposite of what your entire system is built to try and make you do.
Don't get me wrong. The shrew is absolutely the better choice here. I'm just trying to test my limits on this vomit thing, you know? But also, if you eat a... No, because you wouldn't eat the stomach contents. Never mind. Moving on. So, my first question for you in this whole episode is why. Why did the scientist swallow a shrew?
Protein.
Because he swallowed a fly and he put the shrew in there to go and get the fly.
Hang on, the shrew was in the fly?
No, the fly was in the scientist.
Okay.
And he was like, oh, this fly's not coming out, so I need to put something in there to go get the fly. So he swallowed the shrew.
Naturally, he thought shrew, not the spider.
No.
Oh, a shrew makes more sense.
Well, because then there'd be a spider
because
in you, so you'd have
clearly
to put the
he'd
shrew
been
into the spider. Yeah,
exactly. He'd been swallowing like 10 spiders a night in his sleep, right? That did nothing for that fly.
Okay.
Yeah. No, so seriously.
Just a weekly shrew to get everything out.
What do you think the scientific merit of swallowing a shrew might be?
I don't know.
Is the shrew alive?
God, no.
Okay, so it's not like it's going to do something in there for you. Well, I don't know.
Do some organization.
Maybe they're really scratchy and you've got some stuff on the inside of your stomach.
If you want the scratcher, you'd be putting it in the other end, Luke.
Really?
Do you not know that people do that?
What? People do what?
People...
I don't even know about this.
You know about this.
Do I?
You definitely know about this. Yeah, hold on. There's a thing where...
people put hamsters up their butts.
Okay, no, so I'm looking here on Wikipedia. Best source. According to folklorist Jan Harald Brunvand, accounts of gerbling were first recorded in 1984 and initially were said to involve a mouse and an unidentified man. In subsequent versions of the story, the animal was a gerbil and the story applied to several male celebrities.
Could they identify the mouse?
See, I don't...
They only said unidentified man, but they didn't say unidentified mouse.
I feel like mice are generally go unidentified. So, I mean, you know...
It's
not Mickey.
It's whiskers.
You know?
Oh, no.
Mouse blindness.
See, this is the thing. I don't know if people... Okay, I was going to say, I don't know if people actually do this gerbling thing, but someone has definitely done it. I know that for a fact. Because it's something that's gone around, right, on the internet. So someone will have tried it at some point.
Yeah, someone will have tried it.
Someone definitely will have tried it.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
I hope there's no community. You know what I mean?
I ask again, seriously, why do you think someone might have swallowed a shrew for science?
Corey, you're going to have to tell us. We don't know.
No, like,
Was it a man dressed up as a shrew?
No, I genuinely want a serious guess. Like, try and think about why someone might have swallowed a shrew.
I don't know.
I have no clue.
Okay, come on. We can figure this out, Jeb. Can we ask you yes and no questions?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
All right. Was it for any nutritional content?
No, not at all.
Was the shrew whole?
They chopped it into, I think, three different types of piece.
Okay.
But it wasn't chewed.
Does it have some kind of healing property? Is the theory there's a healing property?
No.
Is it any kind of pseudoscience?
No. No. This is it's archaeology.
Oh.
Archaeology.
So they found a dead body with a shrew in the stomach.
No.
And they thought, well, what happens? Why would you do that?
No. No. Okay,
I assume the man was alive.
Oh, is it like embalming? There's like an embalming thing, and they put a shrew inside the body for like the journey through the afterlife in case you like need a shrew.
No. You're going like pseudoscience. This is straight science, and this is a really, it's a very silly thing to do, but it makes sense. So I will read to you the introduction,
still have no clue.
The first paragraph of the paper. Even when the buried remains of small mammals are purposely recovered and analyzed, most archaeologists approach their interpretation with some trepidation. The significance of micromammalian bone assemblages for paleontological and human subsistence reconstructions is often obscured by factors stemming from the natural abundance, ubiquity, habitat, and diminutive sizes of the representative taxa. Small mammal skeletons may accumulate in buried sediments through varied mechanisms, from accidental death to selective predation and deposition by a wide host of predators. Subsequently, their small and fragile remains are easily exposed to rapid and complete loss of spatial and structural integrity by a wide range of agents.
So they were trying to figure out what the effects of stomach acid are on a shrew's body.
Human stomach acid, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I swear there's better ways to go about this.
Can you not just get some of your own stomach acid and put it in a cup?
Yeah, could you not take the stomach acid out of the
person? No, it's not the same. So...
Yeah, but okay, fine. It's not the same, granted. But maybe do that first and then
maybe
see
they
if,
did.
Maybe
did they...
you discover enough that way and then eat the shrew.
Did they try that first?
To my knowledge, no. So this is...
Also, they chopped up the shrew, so that's not the same. So...
Listen. So this is
if the shrew came out whole after the stomach.
Whoa.
He definitely did not.
Okay,
they put it back together.
What?
So this is from a paper called "Human Digestive Effects on Micromammalian Skeleton." It's by Peter W. Stahl and Brian D. Crandall from 1995. It won an Ig Nobel Prize in 2013.
Of course, it did.
I don't know why it won it in 2013. It was a good 18 years after it was published.
Oh.
I don't know. Yeah. And also, I found an article in The Guardian from one of the people that I think chooses the Ig Nobel Prizes in 2008 talking about this. So they knew about it for a full 5 years before it won. I have no idea. It
must have been a slow year for the Ig Nobels.
There was a really long delay between it making them laugh and making them think. They were laughing at it for a good few years. And then they went, hang on.
Had to get over the disgust for a bit. They were like, oh.
I would have thought, you know, it made them think. They were like, wow, this makes a lot of sense. And then enough time passed for them to be able to laugh at it. You know?
But that's not the rule.
Oh, laugh and then think. Yeah. Just laugh and then think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tell us what the Ig Nobel Prize is for the people that don't know.
Do you want to go for this, Jam?
So it's like the Nobel Prizes where you win awards for esteemed research or whatever. But they're silly. It's like it's actual research, but it's like silly concepts that make you laugh first, but they actually do make you think.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, something that is silly, but actually has a purpose.
Yeah.
And this does have a genuine, serious purpose. So Brian Crandall attended the ceremony, the Ig Nobel ceremony, which is very cool. It wasn't a super popular thing to do, but now it's become a more popular thing to do for scientists to go and get their Ig Nobel Prize in person. He was an undergraduate at the time of the study, and now is a science educator. So I think this will become apparent when we're going through the study. I feel like this was born out of, what if we did this? Like, what if we swallowed a shrew and wrote it as a paper? Because the entire thing feels like a uni student just doing something on a dare. And then writing a very, very silly but serious paper about it.
But how old were these people? Were they uni students?
Well, I just said he was an undergraduate.
Oh, okay. Yep. Right, sorry. Not every word goes in. Okay.
You're too full of shrews. So,
just had breakfast.
Why they did it is, it's hard to prove that tiny mammal bones found buried in the ground are there because humans purposely ate them and then deposited them there, you know, shitted them out. That's what they're talking about when they talk about depositions. Mm. And it doesn't really sound like a problem, but archaeologists have different problems from most people, you know.
That's another statement.
Well, otherwise, they wouldn't be archaeologists, right? So it's hard to accurately tell what the diet of our ancestors were, because we have to reject this majority of the small mammal bones that we find, because, as I've said, there's any reason they could be there. Like, there's tons of predators of shrews. Like, if you're a bigger... Think about it. Think about the number of different animals that would eat sort of a mouse or a rat. Mm. If you're bigger than a mouse or a rat and you eat animals, you're probably going to eat mice or rats, right? That's probably what you're going to do. Mm. So larger mammals, you've got birds of prey as well. All of them are just taking these like little mammals, eating them, and then depositing them everywhere. They can also burrow, they can just die, all of these different things. So many different reasons that you could find little animal bones somewhere. And we don't know if it's because people were eating them. So studies have been done to find ways of determining sort of non-human accumulation and deposition, eating and the rest. That's what that means. And the idea was that finding multiple different lines of evidence would help in determining why the sort of mammal bones were there. But the researchers pointed out that it wouldn't be particularly useful to... It would be particularly useful to understand what small mammal bones look like when they have been eaten by a person. Because on one hand, you can rule out everything else. People are like, oh, well, it wasn't this, it wasn't that, it wasn't that. But you're still not necessarily sure it was because a person ate it. But if you know what it looks like when a person has eaten something, then you could, you know, if you're an archaeologist and you're taking around and, you know, fossilized human feces, you can have a pretty good idea. So,
hang on. Why else would there be bones in the human feces?
Because they could just
They just happen to be in the same place.
Same place, yeah.
Man. Imagine if there's two options there. Either something dies and then a human shits on the dead thing, you die in some shit.
Get stuck in it and you drown.
Dreadful.
It's probably not quite fossilized. Okay, I'll say it's not quite fossilized, like fully stone. What they're finding remnants of. of where human feces would have been, and they find tiny broken animal bones. There's any reason that those shrews could have been there, oh, you know? No.
Just imagining a shrew getting stuck in some shit and then just, like, slowly being like, right, that's me, I'm done. Oh, I'm dying.
I've broken my bones in this shit.
Yeah, I can't maybe the little shrew's got a kink. You don't know. You don't know what his life is.
I don't think shrews can have kinks.
Hey.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think shrews can have cake.
I think they can.
What we need to find is we need to find the people who want to shove gerbils up their ass and the shrews with a kink for being shoved up an ass. And then you've got a perfect marriage.
So here's another quote from this study. It says, our study involved the consumption of a skinned, eviscerated, and segmented insectivore by an adult human male, followed by the recovery and examination of related fecal contents. Now, what this is saying is we gutted a shrew, we skinned it, and then we ate it. And then we went through our feces and tried to find it again. Again, this really feels like an undergrad had a bet. You know, like this genuinely, in the way that it's written, right? Insectivore by an adult human male.
Yeah.
I know that's how scientific papers are written, but it's also the way that you would write it if you were absolutely trying to take the piss.
Out of interest, why do they seem to think that past humans will have skinned and gutted a shrew, but not taken the bones out?
Oh, I think they just didn't want to eat the skin and
guts. But then the result they're getting is not particularly good because the skin might change the way that the bones decompose.
There's some skin on it. There were some skin on the feet, I think, still.
What good news.
Yeah. Yeah.
They like feet, then.
The toe.
They ate a bit of foot skin. Yummy. That's the best
the worst
bit.
But also,
when you're looking at the remains, bones are going to last longer than the skin. And
no, of course. I just mean that the skin being on will change the way that the body digests the bones.
True, so, yeah, but
that's
also
what you're trying to get.
We'll get to the problems with this in a bit. It's by no means perfect, but it is.
If you're going to eat a shrew, do it properly. you're already over the hump of eating a shrew. Just do it properly.
Prepare it nicely.
We get it. You eat three shrews every day. You know how to do it.
I eat them with the skin on and the organs still in.
You have the exact energy of someone who eats a kiwi fruit with the entire skin. That's exactly what you're doing.
No. I did used to go to sushi restaurants and not know that you didn't eat the skin of the edamame.
Jesus, you're a monster.
I ate the whole bowl of edamame with all the skin, and I was like, why does anyone like this? And then I found out that you're meant to pop the little beans out.
Did you not see anyone else? Did no one tell you?
Nope. I did this for
how
like,
long did it take you to
you
figure that out?
Few months. This long.
How long did it take you to figure it out?
A few months. And down the road from a sushi restaurant. I went quite a lot.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And no one said anything. No. Not even the people working there.
No.
I reckon the people working there probably just thought, you must like it like that.
Yeah.
Did they ever start giving you edamame on the house? Because I would.
I would.
If I
just
had
to watch you do
if
it.
If I had a madman that came in.
More edamame.
And ordered edamame.
Sir.
And ordered it.
Gentlemen.
Because you can't have looked like you were enjoying it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why did you keep getting it?
Yeah, right.
Because I knew it was good for you.
Imagine someone eating a banana peel and all every time and be like, oh god, this is horrible, but at least it's good.
Oh no.
Well, you know, you eat like runner beans, you don't pop them open.
Yeah, but you can chew those with like, you know, for less than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And swallow them easily. So they caught some northern short-tailed shrews in Broome County in New York in the summer of 1991, long before any of us were born. They used snap traps, and initially I was thinking, oh wow, that feels really inhumane, and then I realized that they literally ate the shrew, so it doesn't really matter, I suppose. And also, I guess that's a better way to die for the shrew as well, because usually they'll die from being eaten by something else. But being caught in a snap trap and dying pretty quick, that's better, right?
Not if they just die of old age.
And that actually brings me to the next thing. I wondered how many shrews died of old age, and I found a paper that...
How old is old for a shrew?
A couple years.
Okay.
Yeah, they're small, you know. That's a long time for them. So I looked it up, and there was a paper from, I think the 70s or something. So there was this idea that shrews generally sort of die of old age, sort of... directly after what's the word for when you make babies?
Sex.
Reproducing. So they go through a reproductive cycle. They reach sort of maturity. They have sex and then they die, right? That was kind of a prevailing theory.
That's not dying of old age, then. It's dying of sex.
Well, for them, it is dying of old age.
It's efficient.
Okay. as long as they sex just before they are old?
Well,
or are they rapidly degenerate after they reach the age of having sex,
yeah, of being able to have sex and you know, produce offspring,
yeah,
and then they die shortly after,
right?
But this paper was talking about how, well, that's not very, there's not good evidence for this and that, and I didn't look any farther into it because that's not at all what the episode was about.
Okay.
I just thought you would enjoy that tangent, that there is a paper about shrews dying of old age.
Not a large window of opportunity to get laid.
Well, that's exactly my point, is that either you wait until you're about to die to have sex, and then you do actually die of old age, or your body, once you've had sex, just goes, right.
Right, okay, no need for
this
anymore.
Can I point out that this is not... That's not what shrews do. They don't die after they have sex. This paper was talking about how there are other factors at play that make it seem as though shrews die of old age.
Okay.
There are animals that do put so much energy into having sex that they literally die.
Yes.
I can't remember what animal. I think it's some kind of small mammal. Probably a bunch of bugs too. They die after having sex a lot. Mm. That's what black widows do. That's what praying mantises do. Yeah. Just be lucky you're not a bug.
Yeah.
So back to the swallowing of the shrew. I have another quote. There are going to be lots of quotes from this paper because it's just...
Thank God.
B. brevicauda, that's the Latin name for the shrew, is a relatively large and robust member of its genus, with subspecific forms ranging throughout the north central and northeastern United States and contiguous areas in Canada. This semi-fossorial mammal tends to reside in areas with herbaceous cover, frequenting runways in the upper soil horizons where it feeds on a highly Catholic diet of animal and plant materials.
What's a highly Catholic diet? Oh, like a strict diet?
No, exact opposite. Liberal, taking in everything. Apparently that's a way to use the word Catholic.
Catholics just eat anything.
Catholics eat anything. Apparently.
I always thought it was a religion, not a description of what you eat.
Is it because some religions are restrictive on what you can eat and Catholics don't?
I have no clue. I did not bother to look into it. I just found out that a Catholic diet means varied. Happy to take anything.
My wife grew up Catholic, and she's the one who introduced me to eating shrews, so that all makes sense.
How many does she eat a day?
Oh, you don't want to know. I have the leftovers, and that's
an unquenchable hunger.
What she's done.
I get the scraps.
Yeah. Where does she find those shrews?
I don't know. She disappears in the night and comes back with a bag.
Look, are you confusing, perhaps, your wife for your cat?
No, my cat doesn't go outside. She's scared.
Of your wife?
Yes. I think she might get mistaken for a shrew.
She's a rather small cat.
I'll tell you what they did. So this is the description of the sort of methodology from the paper itself. Standard zoological measurements were determined for an adult male specimen. Head and body 90 millimeters, tail 24 millimeters. They've got all the different lengths and weights. It's about, I think, 6.02 grams for the gut and 2.85 grams for the skin, by the way. So
these are tiny. Aww.
Yeah. And the weight of the shrew was 18.92 grams. So three shrews really is not enough to get your daily protein intake, I'll tell you
Unless they're entirely protein.
those shrews are jacked. They are beefy.
That's only, I think, 54 grams of shrew.
Yeah.
Wow. You're so right. I need to get some of my wife's shrews.
No wonder you've been looking so sort of weak and skinny, you know?
Yeah. I know.
12 shrews.
Yeah. Maybe that might reach it.
Yeah.
12 shrews a day.
We'll figure it out.
Should do it, yeah.
Okay, cool.
We can write a paper.
No.
I'll have to beg your wife for some more shrews out of the bag.
So the carcass was lightly boiled for approximately 2 minutes and swallowed without mastication in hind and forelimb, head and body, and tail portions. The rapid period of gentle boiling did not promote any further loss or dissociation of tissues. However, it should be cautioned that carcass segmentation may have led to increased exposure of certain bone surfaces, more likely to have been protected by soft tissue had the carcass been swallowed whole. Marker foods of corn and sesame seeds were ingested several hours before and after the experimental meal in an attempt to establish control parameters for fecal collection.
Very good.
So, to translate this into English, essentially, they ate some corn and seeds. Waited a few hours, measured the shrew. It's 9 centimeters long. I think it's about 12.4 centimeters long, including the tail.
Mm-hmm.
They skinned and disemboweled it. They boiled it for 2 minutes, I assume to remove external bacteria, or to make it slightly less disgusting. I genuinely have no... They do not... I don't think they say why. I don't know why they boiled the shrew for 2 minutes gently, but they did. They chopped it into separate bits, head and body, legs and tail. When they skinned it, they left some of the skin on the feet, I assume because it's hard to skin a shrew's foot. Because it's so little.
Yeah.
Put all this effort in, you may as well.
So they then ate the shrew in those separate bits without chewing. So they just swallowed it whole. And then they waited a few hours and ate some more corn and seeds. And then they sifted through feces for 3 days. So the corn and seeds make sense, though.
Because they just come out as corn and seeds, don't they?
Yeah. If you don't chew them, they'll just pass right through. So as soon as you're checking every day, as soon as you see corn, you're like, okay, there we go. Shrew's coming soon.
Yeah.
And then you start collecting that feces.
And then it's end of shrew. When the next load of corn and seeds come. No more shrew.
You don't want to be sifting through more feces than you have to, yeah, you know?
Absolutely.
So they sifted through feces for 3 days. And in this part, they stirred the feces in warm water until it disintegrated. And then they ran it through a quadruple layer of cheesecloth. And then, so cheesecloth is this sort of very fine mesh. Then they cleaned the bits that were left over. And they used a hand lens. I think that's a magnifying glass.
Sure.
Okay.
As you've probably noticed, the way that they're talking about things in this paper is overly flowery. You know, very...
Because it's a joke.
It feels like it's a joke.
Yeah.
But it is, in some senses, serious. Like, it is decent enough science. But I don't understand the concept of making yourself eat a shrew for a joke. Like...
Yeah. Well, we're talking about it now, Corey, so it's worked.
Yeah, but the joke is on you. You ate a shrew.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
No, we have to sit here and talk about someone eating a shrew.
Of course you would think that, Luke.
Yeah, of course, yeah, sorry. The joke can't possibly be on shrew eaters. Unless that would include me.
So they cleaned the bits that were left over, used a magnifying glass or a hand lens to look for bones. Then they sterilized those bones by dunking them in alcohol and prepared them for electron microscopy. Which involves putting some sort of gold plating on them, I believe, or using some form of gold, which is almost frustrating that a man ate a shrew without chewing, then just defecated, sifted through that, and then put some gold on it, and you put like the money that is going into this.
There are people who can't afford to eat. And this guy's
should have given them the shrew, Luke. They should have
just
given
go out
them the
and
shrew.
Hunt some shrews.
That's not the point. They could give them the gold, maybe. That would also be helpful.
You know what they say, Luke. You give a man a shrew, he eats for a day. You give him some gold, he buys a shrew.
He doesn't eat at all.
He goes to the shrew store.
Shrew. And buys many, many shrews.
Teach a man to shrew, and he eats for a lifetime.
Fuck's sake. I was tempted to make this a bonus episode over on our Patreon.
It does have bonus episode energy.
It does,
okay, yeah.
It does, but I did not want to keep this from the world. I wanted everyone to know that...
Maybe we should have kept it for a while.
No.
Public service announcement. A man ate a shrew and then gold-plated his own shit.
All I'm saying is that if you want to go into science, but you feel that it can be too stuffy, it feels too serious...
Yeah.
Nah.
No.
Nah. You can eat a shrew and call that science. You can win an award for
it. So, are we going to get accused of encouraging people to eat shrews?
I don't care. Who's going to be bad
people
at us?
People are already eating lots of things. 150 billion animals a year. Mm. I think a few shrews is fine.
Also, I'm fairly sure shrews...
They might eat less of the other animals in that case.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm fairly sure that shrews are one of the most sort of populous animals in the UK.
Mm.
Let me just double check.
They're the pigeons
that.
Of the shrew world.
Yeah, so there are 41,700,000 shrews in Britain.
That's less than people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's less than one shrew per person. That's not very populous, actually. They are quite small.
So you're taking a disproportionate amount of shrews from
I'm sorry.
The rest of us.
It's
going to go extinct if not stopped.
Sorry. Once you up your dose to 12 a day.
It's the second most numerous British mammal.
Mm. Right.
Yeah, there are a lot of shrews.
So we're the most numerous British mammals.
I don't think humans are counted in that.
What?
But we are mammals.
Stupid.
What?
Oh, I just typed in how many I just typed in how many humans in Britain.
How many Homo sapiens?
How many? 67.1 million in the UK, 41.7 million. Yeah, so there's a few less shrews than there are people, but there's plenty of them. There's
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I'm not going... The shrews will continue to repopulate in Britain because most people aren't eating shrews.
That's true. Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm having your shrew share and your shrew share.
Yeah, but if we all ate shrews, it's unsustainable.
Yes, I agree.
Unless we start a shrew farm.
I feel like shrew farming would be fairly easy, right? Yeah. Like, you know, all you need to do is just hide them from the predators.
Yeah.
Which isn't too... I mean, everything is a predator for a shrew. Predators,
including us.
Yeah. Evidently.
Me and my wife.
We're not hiding them very well.
They're doing little shrew podcasts where they're talking about us.
Comparing to lock this, your doors.
Comparing this to last week's episode on dysphoria, this show can swing wildly between topics. Let me just say, this is a lovely palate cleanser from last week. Okay, fantastic. I'm glad we did this.
Any gender can eat a shrew.
So back to eating shrews. Let's look at the results. Another quote for you. The majority of recovered bone specimens appeared in the first fecal collection. Very little material, including a molar and one humerus, were present in the second collection. No bone specimens were recovered in feces from the third day, when food remains from subsequent meals became obvious. And what I love about this is that that meant they had to sift through their own feces and find nothing.
Yes!
The sheer disappointment of having to stir your feces in some warm water until it disintegrates. Oh, no. Imagine actually having to do that.
Straining it through cheesecloth.
Yeah. Oh. It's not nice. I mean, it's lucky that it's your own, right? And by the way, it doesn't say who ate it in the paper.
Oh.
No.
Well, yeah, was the person who ate it the same person who strained it?
I mean, okay, put it this way. I assume that it was one of the two of them. I assume that it was one of the two people that wrote the paper. I assume that it was the undergraduate, because who else would eat a shrew?
Yeah. It's definitely one of those things where, like, you want to move up through your industry. All right, I'll eat a shrew and sift through my own poo.
I don't think that's sort of the pinnacle of archaeology. That's what you do to move through the field. I feel like...
You get your name out there by being the guy who ate a shrew.
Ding-a-ling-ling, it's the ad bell. What are we advertising today?
We're advertising our spicy merch. I am wearing the tardigrade beanie that we're selling. It's a little tardigrade boy, little water bear going, ooh.
And if you like the tardigrade beanie, you could also get our matching tardigrade t-shirt with a little smiling tardigrade that isn't going, ooh, but is going, ee.
And if you like the tardigrade t-shirt, you might also like the Sci Guys little pin badges we've made.
Wow.
They don't match, but they do say Sci Guys, and you can show your love for Sci Guys in your pin badge collection, and they're very cute.
Yeah, it's the actual logo.
And there's still a chance to grab our Sci Guys calendar, which will give you a discount on the future calendar if you get it now.
And an extra episode of Sci Guys, all about calendars.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, they will get that.
The calendar episode, yeah.
Well, that's the spawn from ourselves. Back to the episode.
So have a look at this table here. This one is based on a table from another study. It was a study on owls and other small mammal predators. That's animals that eat small mammals, not small mammals that eat other mammals. Although I suppose if you are a small mammal that eats other mammals, you would be a small mammal predator. It doesn't matter. Anyway, this is a table of all of the bones that they recovered. So if you see here, the number recovered and the number in the skeleton. There's two different columns for that, and then they've got the percentage abundance. So if the cranial fragment, they got one bit of the cranium.
I mean, that looks like, sorry, in this table.
Go for it.
It looks like cranial fragment number recovered, one. Number in skeleton, zero. Where did the cranial fragment come from?
Doesn't apply, because the cranial fragment is your skull, and that thing was destroyed. It suffered severe damage, the cranium there. So
why is there not a number for number in skeleton?
Because there's no cranial fragment in skeleton. There's a skull.
There's a skull, and they got a piece.
The skull was destroyed.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but they got one of the mandibles, one part of the jawbone. Mm. They got both of the ulnas. Nice. If you look at this table, they got.
They left quite a few molars in there.
No, that means that the that means that the molars were just disintegrated.
Oh.
So all the stuff that didn't come out would have been digested, right? And so you could see there that they had both of the human both of the humeruses, the humeri, I suppose, both of the ulnas, one of the tibial fibulas. So sort of the leg bones, essentially, here are survived fairly well. The molars, surprisingly, the teeth surprisingly didn't survive all that well. The skull was a lost cause altogether.
Yeah.
And I think the maxillae, those are parts of the jaw as well, I think, a different part of the jaw, and that all survived as well. And it's actually really, it's really weird. They did not expect that the teeth would disappear, because teeth are pretty tough, right? They didn't expect for them to completely go, but they did. So here's a quote: "Many went missing. One of the major jaw bones disappeared. So did 4 of the 12 molar teeth, several of the major leg and foot bones, and nearly all of the toe bones, and all but one of the 31 vertebrae. And the skull, reputedly a very hard chunk of bone, emerged with what the report calls significant damage." This is from one of the people that chose the Ig Nobel Prize. This was in that Guardian article that I mentioned from 2008. It was carnage. They did. They recovered, I think, about 20% of about 20% of the animal. I think maybe of the skeleton when it came out. And I've got another banger of a sentence here. "Due to the controlled nature of this study, we have exact information on both the predatory consumer and the prey species consumed, the number and nature of skeletal elements involved in consumption, and the manner in which they were introduced in the consumer." What it's saying there is that when we usually study this, we don't know what an owl has eaten. We don't know if the shrew that the owl ate had all of its bones. But in this case, we do know, because I was the consumer, and I am a person, and I wrote all it of down. Them. Exactly. Which, like, this is, again, so much of this just feels like a joke, because he's just saying, well, in this case, we know who the consumer was. It was me.
But he's also just writing in the way that you're taught. Like, we put things in Latin in everything. Mm. Like, we do sort of obfuscate a lot of science anyway. That is pretty standard in science. Not to this, like, to a joke level, but, like...
Yeah. The point of scientific papers, the reason that we use Latin, the reason we sort of obfuscate a lot of stuff is... almost counterintuitively, to be incredibly clear about what we're talking about. Because colloquially, when we talk, we lose a lot of information, right? We're not precise in our language. And the whole point of scientific papers is to be incredibly precise with one's language. Mm-hmm. Although, of course, you get to the point of this, of saying, you know, we have exact information on both the predatory consumer and the prey species consumed. That is incredibly precise to the point of being almost difficult to parse through for the sort of layperson. When really what this person is saying is, I ate the shrew, and so I know what I ate. That's we usually don't know what they ate, because you can't ask an owl, but you can ask me, and I'm telling you I ate an entire shrew. Jesus.
So I wonder if you could get, like, train an AI to take scientific papers and put them into like layperson speak.
I don't think you could. I do not think you could. Because when you do that, you then have to... What you're essentially asking is, can we make an AI do science communication? And people can be terrible at science communication. You know, I've met influencers and creators, and I'm not going to badmouth anyone, you know, in particular, but I've met creators, and I know creators on, you know, platforms like TikTok and whatnot, who do a really, really poor job of science communication, because they'll oversimplify to the point of basically lying to their audience, or they will get something wrong and refuse to concede it, you know? And sort of this translating the difficult science stuff to a thing that anyone can understand is really, really difficult. And I think beyond what an AI could do.
All right, you got a job for now.
Yeah.
Take back in a few years. A few years from now, I'm going to start training.
Although, perhaps you could train an AI to interject in conversation and ask silly questions and then not listen to the answer.
No, I actually think that's a lot harder than people think, Corey. way beyond the capability of an AI.
Yeah.
So moving on, as I've said, what he essentially said is that we know everything about this because it's a controlled study, because I'm the person that ate it. In all of these other cases, we can't really do controlled studies because we're not, you know, we're not able to control for wild animals eating what wild animals eat. Mm. And it seems like only about 28 bones or fragments of bones were found, which is pretty low when compared to all of the bones in a shrew. No, I do not know how many bones are in a shrew. I knew you were going to ask that. And so I preemptively decided to say, I did not bother to look it up. I don't know. It's unimportant. Probably a similar number of bones that a human has, because that's how evolution works.
Cool.
Is that okay, Luke?
I actually wasn't going to ask.
Are you really not? No. So, as I said, there was about 20% of, I think, the bones that were left over. 20.6%. That's excluding the cranial fragment, because I think that the skull was just too messed up. They just removed the whole sort of cranium from the equation. And they compared it to another study, one that wasn't done on humans, obviously, one that looked at different predators of small mammals, and to sort of compare to see how much of the shrew passed through the human in comparison to those animals. And bear in mind that the other study used estimations on the low end, because they didn't specifically know what state the carcass was in when the animal got to it. But the 20% number is lower than all of the other predators surveyed in that other study, except for a kestrel. And the quote here says, "As expected, the relative abundance of individual prey skeletal elements is most similar to surveyed mammalian predators, including white-tailed mongoose, small spotted genet, bat-eared red and arctic foxes, coyote, and pine marten." What they're saying there is, compared to other mammals, we're pretty similar to all of these. This is such a stupid... I want everyone that's listening to this to read this paper. It is like 6 pages long, if that, and it is fantastic. It is full of just gems. So they hypothesize that the forelimbs survived fairly well because this species of shrew that they were eating, or the species of shrew that they ate, rather, was particularly adept at climbing and burrowing, which would require relatively strong forelimbs and still proportionally thicker bones. Right, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And they were also on the low end for mammals in terms of the bones that came through, and more similar to birds, in terms of the bones recovered, obviously, which suggests that chewing aids in destroying non-cranial bones when combined with the stomach acid, because they didn't chew, right? And birds, as we know,
right,
don't chew.
Yeah,
because birds don't have teeth.
Teeth.
They continue to talk about the teeth, which were mostly intact but cracked. And they said it could be down the lines of weakness that were already there, and it was just exacerbated by the stomach acid. And also, the teeth weren't necessarily in the jawbone. In fact, I think most of them weren't in the jawbone, so they came loose from the jawbone and just, you know, were floating about in the stomach. But again, I mean, I know that a shrew molar is going to be tiny, right? Remember, think about the shrew that is, it was maybe 10 centimeters long. Think about how small its teeth are going to be. That's just rattling around. That doesn't sit right with me. I mean, even, like, I feel like smaller than your fingernail. Like, way smaller than your fingernail, obviously, but like...
The tooth?
Yeah.
Oh, way smaller than your fingernail.
No, I'm saying you could fit a bunch of them on your fingernail.
Oh,
be so cute. As you can see in these images here, these are what they got from the electron microscope. So you could see a sort of one of the sort of, I think it's a jawbone there, and then another close-up view of the jawbone with the teeth in there.
That first picture looks like a bunch of trapped dog souls.
I'm sorry.
Like little souls.
Oh, I hate that.
Trapped.
I see it.
It does, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. Luckily, it's just a dead shrew. So,
luckily.
So, we've got to the conclusion now. This is the first paragraph of the conclusion. It's also incredible. This study was undertaken as a contribution towards unraveling the many ambiguities that can surround the interpretation of microvertebrate accumulations in archaeology. Small animals are perfectly adequate human dietary inclusions. Often, their role in paleoecological analysis, paleoecological analysis, this is tough, there are big words here, often their role in paleoecological analysis, is crucial. Nonetheless, the profuse ways in which the remains can be introduced and subsequently altered in buried contexts often produce significant interpretive ambivalence. In the absence of relatively unique corpulentic evidence, the identification of microvertebrate assemblages which had been purposely accumulated by humans is obscure at best. This paper offers a preliminary assessment of human signatures on microvertebrate remains resulting from the controlled digestion of a small insectivore. What all of that means is it's very useful to know when a human is eating a small animal, and a small animal is good for people to eat. It's good for your diet.
Was there any mention of, so obviously they've said 80% of the bones vanished, but the 20% that are left, because the point was to find out what the stomach acid and the digestive system does to the leftover bones, so you can see, oh, these bones were eaten by a person maybe.
Not just that.
But, oh, really? Okay.
Well, think about it. If you are taking it from a whole shrew, right, mm-hmm. and you know what bones are left over, if you can see the bones that are left over, and only those bones,
yeah.
then you know, oh, a human probably ate that, right?
Okay.
Because yeah. you know what can survive, what shrew bones can survive in the human digestive system.
Right. So it wasn't so much about like seeing like the texture of the bone once it's come out.
It's the whole thing, really. Okay. It's seeing what it, so it is both seeing what is left and what is left looks like.
Assuming the human in the past didn't chew at all.
Yeah, they skinned, split up the shrew into different bits, boiled it. Parboiled it, and then ate it without swallowing.
So in fact,
cut it into three pieces.
They've found out. They've got evidence of things that it looks like when a bird has eaten something, as you said, because the bird doesn't have teeth, so it doesn't chew. So
a bird with a human digestive.
So if they find, if they find something, and they're like, "Oh, this looks just like the time we did this," then it was probably a bird. It probably was
a human digestive tract.
With a human digestive tract,
a harpy, perhaps. You know.
Did they get anything useful out of this?
Yeah. Well, they won an Ig Nobel.
Okay.
That's more or less the sort of study. What they've said also is that it's not clear as to whether the sort of digestion that happened in this experiment was typical of humans and the sort of 2 days of the maximum transit. Was also representative of the human population. But they also say, nevertheless, the results of our small preliminary study certainly tend to support a specific paper over another paper. It feels, as we get towards the end of this, that someone tried really, really, really hard to make it scientifically viable to eat a shrew, and they did it. Well done to them. So we've got the acknowledgements now. Which I will read again verbatim.
The shrew? Just the one shrew.
We give belated thanks to an anonymous Blarina Brevicoda, whose ultimate sacrifice in the name of science is appreciated.
Oh. Is that the shrew?
That's the shrew.
Oh. Why did they name it?
That's the Latin name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's anonymous.
Okay.
It's an anonymous shrew.
That was just her name.
So they didn't identify the shrew.
Yeah. No. So that's a... that's...
Is that the only acknowledgement?
No, there are other acknowledgements, but the shrew comes before
the guy who ate the shrew.
Everyone else.
Yeah. Great. Oh, as it should.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't.
The shrew gave the most to the experiment, really.
I mean,
yes.
I don't know.
Do not shrew argue this. Don't argue this.
What? I'm just saying the shrew was going to be eaten by something anyway, probably.
No, might have had sex and died of old age.
That's true. That's a better way to go than being boiled and chopped into three pieces and eaten.
It's not like it was boiled. It was dead when it was boiled.
Sorry, we're all going to die of something. It doesn't mean it's not sad if we get killed and boiled.
I'm going to say I do not care if once I'm dead, I'm boiled.
Yeah, but you'd care if I killed you now and then boiled you.
I don't think you could kill me, Luke.
I could sneak up on you.
If you were a shrew.
No.
I could sneak up on you at some point. Sorry, Corey, it's for science. I'm an archaeologist now. I had to find out what it's like
I'm
if I eat you without chewing.
Oh my god, eating curry without chewing.
Well, there's lots of little pieces.
There's a lot not to chew.
That defeats the purpose.
It's quite a bit bigger than a shrew.
Thank you! That does defeat the purpose, yes.
Of not chewing.
Yeah.
Of what does? Chopping up into little pieces?
Yeah.
Yes, but they did this in this paper too.
Yeah, but they didn't. They only chopped it up into... They chopped it up into fairly large pieces, you know.
Right. Okay.
Relative to
compared to the size of the shrew.
Yeah, though. They only chopped it up into four different pieces.
Yeah, sure. You know? Okay.
Like, it's not like...
Well...
Chopping me up into
my size.
I'll
chop
pieces.
You up into four pieces and I will chew because I think eating people, you probably do chew.
I'll tell you this, Luke, you definitely got to chew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's tough, that meat. Unless you cook it for a long, long time.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, you are boiling, so. Let's boil for a bit.
For 2 minutes. Yeah. For 2 minutes, though, Jen. Just
boil a bit longer. Bacteria. No, 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 because then that's cheating.
It's not quite the same. You gotta eat an undercooked curry. You happy with that? You happy with the decision that you've made?
No.
It's for science.
No, I'll stick to a shrew.
It's all right, I'll do it. You can just get him.
I'll tell you one thing that is for science. It's the quickfire quiz.
Dun, 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 dun. Shrew edition.
Yeah, it's not going to be another one of those.
I just saluted the shrew.
So the rules are the same as always. I'll ask one question between the two of you. The first person to buzz in with the correct answer after finished asking the question wins. What do they win, Jamp?
A lovely, delicious shrew.
I cannot promise that.
The opportunity to eat Corey.
No.
Oh.
How about this? I will allow you to find, kill, parboil, and eat a shrew.
I don't want to eat a shrew.
I'll allow you. You don't have to do it. I'm just giving you permission.
He's not going to stop us in.
I won't stop you from it.
Okay, okay. I'm offering up the permission to eat curry.
No.
How kind of you.
Yeah. No.
As my... What would you like to offer as a prize, champ?
Nothing. Okay. As always.
What is your buzzer, Luke?
Oh. It's just like a shrew.
A little shrew noise.
Oh, okay. Champ, what is your buzzer?
Oh, God.
So a very large
shrew. It's a very masculine shrew.
So the question is, what animal did they eat? Luke, you got first.
Oh, okay.
A shrew?
Oh, I need to be more specific.
Oh, not the Latin name.
No, not the Latin name. Just the full English name. For the type of shrew that they ate.
Oh, I don't know.
Which I said...
I know, you said it like a minute ago and I've already forgotten it.
A feature of its body.
Tailed shrew.
Yeah. Jump.
A big-tailed shrew.
Long-tailed shrew? Short-tailed shrew.
There you go.
Hell yeah! I get to eat curry!
A northern short-tailed shrew. So before we go, we would like to thank all of our patrons with a very special thank you to executive producers Rosa Rodriguez and Danito. And also, thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Sunday and why not leave us a nice wee comment. Support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, here on YouTube, and at SciGuys on TikTok too. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
That's SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
You can follow me at NotCory everywhere.
You can follow me at Jampkin. I was going to say not Jampkin. At Jampkin everywhere.
You can follow me at Luke Cutforth, not everywhere.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.